Hi everyone, today's parak of Rambam is the 13th chapter of Hilchos Yisurei Biya. In this parak, Rambam will discuss the laws of Geiros, conversion, considering that in the previous parak, he had discussed various people who, when they convert, are not yet able to enter into the regular Jewish community. Now he turns to the broader laws surrounding conversion. Halacha Aleph. Bishlosha Devarim Nechnasu Yisrael Lebris, B'mila, U'tvila, B'karba. With three different matters, the Bnei Yisrael entered into a covenant with God, and those were, number one, circumcision, number two, immersion in a mikvah, and number three, offering a sacrifice. Halacha Beis. Mila Haizim Mitzrayim. When did the circumcision occur? That was when the Jews were in Egypt. Shneimar says, V'chol Ara Lo Yochabo. Regarding the Pesach offering, anybody who's uncircumcised is not able to partake from it. Molosa Moshe Rabbeinu, Shekula Ben Lubris, Mila Ben Mitzrayim, Chos Mishivet Levi. Valden Amar, Uvrischa Yinsoro. And then Moshe Rabbeinu accordingly had to circumcise all of Klal Yisrael, with the one exception of Shevet Levi, because they had managed to continue to do a bris milah despite their travails in Egypt, while the rest of Klal Yisrael didn't. And about Shevet Levi, the pasuk therefore says they upheld the covenant with God. Halacha Gimel, Utvila Haisa B'Midbar, Kodem Matan Torah. Now the Bnei Yisrael also immersed in a mikvah when they were in the wilderness prior to receiving the Torah. Shneimar, the pasuk says, B'Kidashtem Hayom Machar V'Chapsusim L'Sam. They shall sanctify yourself today and tomorrow in preparation for receiving the Torah. The carbon, and they also offered a sacrifice. Shneimar, the pasuk says, Vayishlach Esnarei Bnei Yisrael Vayalu Olos. I did call Yisrael Hikrivum, that Moshe Rabbeinu sent out these young leaders of Klal Yisrael to go and offer up various karbanos, and that was done on behalf of the entire Jewish people. Halacha Dalet. V'chein the Doros, k'sheyirtzeh ha'ovei k'chavim li'kaneis l'bris, l'istosef tafas sh'anfei ha'shchina, v'kabel lov ol Torah, tzarech mila, utfila, v'artzaas karbon. Similarly, nowadays as well, when a non-Jew wishes to enter into the covenant, to take shelter under the wings of God's presence, and accept upon themselves the yoke of the Torah, in that case as well, he requires circumcision, immersion in mikvah, and also offering a sacrifice before God. And if she's female, obviously circumcision doesn't apply, so then there's only two components, immersing in the mikvah and offering a karban. That just as it is for you, so too it should be for any convert in the future. Just as you, Klal Yisrael, at this stage, have entered into a covenant with God with circumcision, immersion in the mikvah, and offering a carbon, so too will any convert in the future do. Halacha hey, umahu carbon ager. Now, what is this offering brought by a convert? Olas behema, oshtei torim, oshtei bnei ona, ushteim ola. They offer up either a single animal offering or two different bird offerings, either turtle doves or two young pigeons, and both of them in that circumstance would be offered as a burnt offering. It was manazeh she'enshem carbon. Nowadays, when there are no sacrifices, tzarach mila utvila u'kshibana beis hamikdash yavi carbon. They require simply the acts of circumcision and immersion in mikvah, and one day, God willing, when the beis hamikdash is rebuilt, they will offer up a carbon again. Halacha vav, ger shemol v'lo tabal, o tabal v'lo mol, eino ger ad she'amol v'yitbol. If a potential convert circumcises but not immerse, or immersed but does not circumcise, in that case they are not a convert until they do both of these two, circumcision and immersion. V'tzarech lifbo b'fnei shlosha, and that immersion in the mikvah must be done before three members of Klal Yisrael. V'ho ava davar tzarech beistin, eim apin lo sova shabbos, lo b'yom tov lo b'leila. And since this is something which requires a rabbinic court, these three members of Klal Yisrael, therefore it's not something where we allow them to do it on Shabbos or Yontif, or at night, because in general, something done by a rabbinic court must be done during the day. Nonetheless, if they had immersed him at night, for example, he still counts as a convert. If somebody wishes to have a minor become a convert, in that circumstance, he immerses with the knowledge and the desire of the rabbinic court, because this is something which is considered good for him, and therefore you can do without him, quote unquote, being present, because he's not yet at an age where he can make this decision on his own. Similarly, if you have a woman who is pregnant, who she herself converts, and she immerses in the mikvah, so then her unborn child, when he's born, will not require a new immersion. If one immersed in the mikvah all on their own, and thereby thought they converted all on their own, even if it was in front of two people, but not three people, then they are not a convert. Bav Amar Niskayarti, Bebeisti, Nosho Ploni, Bitbiluni, Eno Nemon Lavo Bakal, Ashevi Edom. if somebody comes along and claims that he had converted in a particular rabbinic court and they had him immersed in the mikvah in their presence, nonetheless, he's not believed to marry into the regular Jewish community until he brings witnesses that this is true. Halacha ches. Hayanasar l'Yisraelis oli yores v'yesh lo banim v'amar nisgayarti v'ni lo v'atmi ne'man lifso as atzmo v'ni lo nemales ba es hab banim v'chozer v'tovo b'beistin. If somebody was already married to a Jewish woman, whether a regular Jewish woman or a convert, and he had children from her, and then he claimed that I had converted all on my own, and I'm a convert, and I did it without any beis din, in that case, he's believed to invalidate himself to the point where now he's considered not Jewish, but he's not believed with regards to his children to make his children now having been born to somebody who hadn't properly converted, who was a non-Jew. And in that case, then afterwards, he must go because of his testimony and immerse once again in the presence of a beis din. Halacha tes. Giora shirinua nohages b'darkei Yisrael tamid kigon shetitpol lenidasa v'tafresh truma meisasa v'kiyotzi b'zeh v'chein ger shenohig b'darkei Yisrael shetova l'kiryo v'osikol mitzvos her elu b'cheskas giri tzedek. If there is a person who is a female convert who we see acting in the ways of the Bnei Yisrael all the time, for example, she goes to the mikvah after she's been a nida and she takes off truma from the dough that she makes or the like, or you have somebody who's a boy who had been a convert and was acting in all the ways of the Bnei Yisrael, for example, he immerses in a mikvah when he has a seminal emission and he does all the mitzvos, then these people are under the strong presumption that they are indeed righteous, full-fledged converts. This is even true, though we don't have any witnesses who can testify before whom they had converted. Nonetheless, if they come to merge with other members of Klal Yisrael, even though we treat them as members of Klal Yisrael, if they wish to marry in, then they need to bring witnesses, or they must go and immerse in a mikvah before us, once they've been established originally as being non-Jews. And that's why we already had the presumption that they were converts. However, if somebody comes along and says that he had initially been a non-Jew and he had converted in a particular beis din, so in that case he's believed. Because the very same mouth which had forbade him from marrying to the rest of Klal Yisrael, that had told us that he had once been non-Jewish, was also the very same mouth, based on the same testimony, which has permitted him by saying that he had converted. But when is this true? If we are dealing with somebody who is in the land of Israel and in the days where the presumption of everybody there is that they are Jewish. However, if he's outside of the land of Israel, then he's doing proof that he had converted, and then he's allowed to marry a regular Jewish woman. Rambam notes that he believes that this is just an extra level of stringency which Klal Yisrael adopted in order to protect the lineage of our families. Just as we circumcise and we immerse any potential convert, so too do we circumcise and immerse any slave who has been bought from a non-Jew for the purposes of being a slave. If somebody purchased a slave from a non-Jew, and before he had a chance to have him be immersed for the purposes of slavery, this individual went ahead, this slave went, and immersed himself for the purposes of being a regular full-fledged Jew, a regular convert. In that case, he's acquired himself, and therefore he has become a full-fledged Jew. This is done by him saying, before he actually immerses, that I am hereby immersing for the purposes of being a convert. And if he immerses in the presence of his own owner, then in that case, he doesn't need to explicate this. Rather, once he is immersed, he's already been freed. Accordingly, this master doesn't want to lose the slave, so he must be the one to push him into the water until he comes out and he informs the judges that he was dunking him for the purposes of slavery. And when somebody is becoming a slave, he's immersing to leave the status we saw in the previous parak of a non-Jew and enter into this pseudo-Jewish status of being a slave. In that case, he also must do so in front of three judges and during the day, just like a convert, because on some level, it's a partial conversion. Halacha Yud Beis.
When
when the slave becomes free, then he needs to immerse in the mikvah a second time in front of three people during the day, because through that process he will complete his conversion and be a full-fledged member of Kol Yisrael. And there's no need at that point to have him accept upon himself the mitzvot and to inform about the basic foundational tenets of Judaism, because you've already informed about it at the time when he had immersed for the purposes of slavery. In the very same sort of mikvah, which is valid for a woman who's a nida to immerse within, that is also where we will have a potential convert or slave or freed slave immersed in. And the same things which cause a blockage between the woman's skin and the water will also serve as a blockage regarding these people as well. Halacha Yud Dalet. One should not think, the Rambam tells us, that Shimshon, the great Shofet we read about in Sefer Shoftim, who saved Klal Yisrael, or the great Shlomo HaMelech, the king of Israel, who is referred to by the Navi as the beloved of God, the friend of God, married non-Jewish women while they were still non-Jewish. Rather, the truth of the matter, the secret, is as follows. Sham mitzvah hanachona shekijavo hager o gioris this gayer boken achrav shema beglal mamon sheito obishvil sror shizkela obimnei apachad balikonis das. Because the correct way of enabling a convert, whether boy or girl, to convert to Judaism is by investigating what their mindset is. Because perhaps they're doing so for the sake of money, or some authority they will receive, or simply because they are afraid, and that's why they've come to join the religion. And if it's a boy, we investigate whether or not perhaps he's taken a liking for a Jewish woman and he wants to marry her. And similarly with a woman, then we also investigate whether or not perhaps she's taken a liking to a Jewish boy. If we don't find any such potential problem, in that case, Modino son Kovet Ola Torah, the Torah Shiesh Basiyasa al Ameharatzos, Kreyeshiyafrishu. Then we inform them of the heaviness of the yoke of the Torah and all of the difficulty which is required to fulfill it for those who are amongst the regular population. Note how the Rambam is saying that it's not fundamentally that the Torah is something which is a difficult burden, but something which, at least on a superficial level, would appear for those that are ignorant and uninformed to be a very difficult burden, in order so that they should separate from wishing to convert. If nonetheless they accept this yoke upon themselves and they do not separate, and we see that they really are deciding to leave and abandon their old life out of love, so we accept them. That with regard to Naomi and Rus, once Naomi saw that Rus was really insistent in joining Klal Yisrael for all the right reasons, so then she stopped trying to shake her off and allowed her to come with her. Accordingly, the rabbinic courts did not accept converts all the days of King David and Shlomo. They made David Shemimina Pacha Chazra, because during the days of David, we were concerned that maybe they had only decided to convert because they were terrified of this great warrior king. It would be Shlomo, and during the days of Shlomo, Shemimishmila Malchus Vatova Bagdula Shayuba Yisrael Chazra. Maybe they had decided to come and become Jewish because of all the good that there was, all the greatness that there was to be had by being a member of Klal Yisrael at that time. Shekola Chozer, and Obe Kachav Mishvil Davar Mehavle Olam, Eno Megir Etzedek. Because anybody who leaves the idolatry of their former lifestyle because of some foolish, vain matter of this world, then they aren't amongst true converts. Nonetheless, there were many converts who had converted in the days of David and Shlomo in front of non-rabbinic courts, in front of just three regular individuals. Are you based in Agado Choshish in Lahem? Lo dochano son achashtablu mikom akom, lo makarbano son achatirea acharisa. The Sanhedrin Agadol, the Supreme Court of the Bnei Israel in Yerushalayim, was concerned about these potential converts. They wouldn't push them away completely once they had immersed. But they also wouldn't allow them to be full-fledged members of Klal Yisrael until they saw what exactly the end would bring. Accordingly, since Shlomo had the women who he was going to marry convert first, and then he married them, and so too with Shimshon, he had them convert and then marry them. Accordingly, this is the take-home point. Since it's a well-known matter that these individuals that they married, the daughter of Paro in Shlomo's case, this Delilah individual in Shimshon's case, as well as any of the other wives that they had taken, it's known to us that they had converted for ulterior motives, and it wasn't done through a rabbinic court. So therefore, the Pasuk considers them as if they were full-fledged non-Jews and were still in a status of prohibition. We see from the end of the story what their intentions were in the beginning. With regards to Shlomo's wives, we see from how they acted in the end that they were still serving idolatry. They built idolatrous altars and temples, and accordingly the Torah considered it as if Shlomo himself had participated and he himself had built this forbidden altar. Halacha Yud Zayin. Ger Shlomo bat Kuachar, O Shlomo yidu'u ha-mitzvos, va'anshan, umol v'taval b'fnei shlosha had yotos, harei zed ger. If the court did not check after a particular convert, and they did not tell him the various obligations, the mitzvos he's going to have to accept and their potential punishments, and nonetheless, he was circumcised and immersed in front of three regular people, he still counts as a convert. Afilu noda shebishvil davarhu misgayer hol umol v'taval yatz machlal ovi kuchavim v'choshen lo ashes barges gusel. Even if it's known that he was converting for some ulterior motive, once he circumcised and immersed, he has left the category of a non-Jew, and we must be concerned that he might count as a Jew until his level of righteousness is revealed. Even if he goes back and serves idolatry, he's considered like a Jew who's just become rebellious, and an act of betrothal that he does qualifies as a real betrothal. And there's also a positive command for another Jew who finds the lost object of such a fellow to return it to him, because once he's immersed, he's become like a member of Klal Yisrael. Accordingly, Shimshon and Shlomo kept their wives, were still married to them, even once their secret had been revealed. Halacha Yud Ches, the final halacha in the parak. Accordingly, Chazal stated regarding converts that they are as difficult for the Bnei Yisrael as the mark of Tzaras, because most of them are retracting on their old idolatrous ways and joining Klal Yisrael simply because of some ulterior motive that they stand to gain by joining Klal Yisrael, and therefore are causing the Bnei Yisrael to stray once they join. But Kasha Adavar Lifrosh Mehen Achash Neskayur, and it's very difficult to separate from them once they have already converted. Tseulumad Ma Ira B'midbar B'maisa Ego B'kibros Ataiva V'chein Rov HaNisyonos HaSafsav Hayu Behen Tchila. Just go and look at what happened to the generation that was in the Midbar, in the wilderness, with Moshe, in all of Sefer B'midbar. You see what happened with the Chet HaEgel, the golden calf, with the complaints that they had about meat and ultimately died because of it. And so too with most of the difficulties that Klal Yisrael experienced, those instances of complaint that they had when they were in the Midbar, it was because of that multitude that was amongst them, those converts who had converted for some ulterior motive. Have a wonderful day.